Here is this week's NBA Wednesday doubleheader on ESPN and the ESPN app. Zion and the Pelicans taking on Kyrie and the Nets. That's at 7:30 Eastern. Then Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz take on Phoenix. Coverage starts with Stephen A's pregame, SportsCenter at 7 Eastern. That's tonight here on ESPN. Meanwhile, let's run the bases through some of the baseball action of yesterday. The Nats ended their season opener in style. Tied at 5, bottom of 9, bang, that's Juan Soto driving in the winning run with a base hit up the middle. It's Soto's first career walk-off hit in his young career. It certainly won't be his last. Elsewhere, Gerrit Cole was dominant on the mound against the Orioles with 13 strikeouts and 7 scoreless innings as the Yankees beat Baltimore 7-2. Cole's 13 strikeouts, the most by any pitcher in this young baseball season so far. And then the news in San Diego, I guess it's good. The young star Fernando Tatis Jr. goes on the 10-day injured list but will not need surgery after hurting the left shoulder on Monday night on that swing. This was 5 days after, or 5 games after, he signed the longest contract in big league history. Right before that, 14 years, $340 million was the deal on Tatis, and down he goes with a subluxation, a dislocation in the shoulder. But again, I suppose if it doesn't need surgery immediately, that is the good news. And with that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We will be busy here as we come to you live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase. We're bearing down on the draft. Round one is 3 weeks from tomorrow, and we've got you covered. Here we go, Cindy. Let's roll it. It's time to Get Up with Aaron, whose future is in jeopardy, figuratively, and maybe even literally. Could that future be closer than we think in Green Bay? We've got the answer. Meanwhile, the fourth pick in the draft is up for sale. We'll tell you which team needs to go get it right now and why. Plus, has the decision already been made at number 3? And if so, is it the biggest draft mistake we've seen in years? Tim Hasselbeck joins this party as we get up with you, starting right now with the Atlanta Falcons, who seem to be open for business at number 4 in the draft. Adam Schefter tweeting yesterday, quote, with teams locked into the first 3 overall picks, the Atlanta Falcons now have received trade calls from multiple teams and are open to moving out of the number 4 spot. Fascinating to follow, and let's have that conversation. As promised, Tim Hasselbeck joining the conversation. The Big Swagoo was with us today, and Dan Graziano, our insider extraordinaire. Dan, we'll start there. That's the first pick, it would seem, that anyone can go get. What is it people want as they're contemplating going up there to get it?
Well, you look at, does somebody want a quarterback badly enough to go up there? After the first 3 quarterbacks are off the board, of the 2 that are left, is one of them of enough interest to one of the teams further down in the round that they would make a big move up? Now, you're Atlanta. You could stay put and draft a quarterback. Your quarterback, Matt Ryan, is going to be 36 years old. You're not sure whether you're going to be picking this high again anytime soon. Maybe it's time to get your quarterback of the future if you believe that guy is there. But they just watched the pick in front of them go for 3 first-round picks and a 3rd. It's important for them to find out what the value is of that pick, because it could be more significant than the value of staying put and taking a quarterback, staying put and taking a playmaker like a Kyle Pitts. So that's the calculus for Atlanta right now. What is this pick worth? What are teams willing to pay for it? If someone wants to come up and get a quarterback, that price could conceivably be pretty high.
All right, Marcus, give me a team. Give me a team that right now should be on the phone with Atlanta, because we think we know what's going 1, 2, and 3. I suppose those things are not etched in stone. But so the teams out there basically know what we think we know. So who's a team that should be out there right now calling up Atlanta and not taking no for an answer and getting up to number 4 to take their quarterback of the future?
Gee, you want me to give you one or give you a few?
Because
if I'm giving you the one that's in the most dire situation, I would think it would be the Chicago Bears. Because I know Andy Dalton is QB1 and they didn't put it on the internet and all of that. But Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy tying themselves to keeping their job to Andy Dalton is a riskful thing for them to do. So if they identify that they have the opportunity to get up there and get one of these guys, especially if Justin Fields is sitting there after the first 3 quarterbacks are taken, I think they need to strongly consider trying to figure out how to get into that 4th spot so they can get Justin Fields at quarterback. It's a few other teams, but when we've talked about Chicago and how bad they missed on Mitchell Trubisky and how that draft played out, I think they should be in the market for trying to get Justin Fields if he's not taken in the first three picks.
Tim Hasselbeck, I've got the draft order just sitting here, and I just wrote down some arrows, and I put a question mark next to Carolina at 8 because people on this show keep telling me not to discount that possibility, that I'm looking at Denver at 9, I'm looking at New England at 15, I'm looking at the Bears at 20, I'm looking at the Steelers at 24. Who should be on the phone with Atlanta right now to get that quarterback? Tim.
Well, I think Denver at 9, one, because you don't have to go too far. So we're talking about what the compensation is. You know, they're the closest one to me that makes sense. I think they want competition for Drew Lock, maybe a replacement for Drew Lock. So, you know, that makes sense there. They've certainly been rumored to be interested in other guys this offseason, especially guys that have had experience playing in the NFL. So, look, to me, I think it would be Denver. But I will tell you right now, like, if you're Atlanta, well, one thing first. First off, I wouldn't do it until that Mac Jones selection at number 3 went in. I would make sure I knew exactly who Carolina was taking before I traded up. So I wouldn't do it until that card has been handed in. So it wouldn't be something pre-draft in my estimation if I were Denver, because you could move up thinking you're getting Fields and you don't. But I would say this, Atlanta, you know, Dan made the case about, you know, Matt Ryan's age, you know, will they be picking up that high, you know, in the future? Reminds me a little bit about the New York Giants when Eli Manning was their quarterback, who knew how much he had left in the tank. They wanted to draft a quarterback because they were up that high. Like, so to me, I think Atlanta's in that situation where Fields is there, then you don't trade back. Doesn't matter how much, you know, Denver is interested in your pick.
To be clear, you're a Fields fan. I mean, we had a debate in their first hour here, and I just this oh, is yeah. a new voice and a quarterback as well. I mean, Fields seems to have become the lightning rod in this entire draft process, and I still can't figure out for the life of me why. What is your read on him as you break down these quarterbacks?
Look, I think he's the second best quarterback in this draft, and I think that he's really not all that far behind Trevor because some of the things he can do. He's an accurate passer. He's a good decision maker. He makes the throws that are routine, that he should, but then he makes the big throws. He's tough. He's competitive. He sees the field well. He's got athleticism that would put him in the elite of the elite. I've said it here before. I think he has the talent, Greeny, to one day potentially be a league MVP type of player. You can't say that for everybody that's involved in this draft. I think that, you know, there's a potential factor as well as the factor of the product that you're getting right away. So, yeah, I like him a lot. I've liked him a lot through the entire process. So, you know, I'm not exactly sure why others don't see it that same way.
I'm going to come back to this later in this hour. Marcus, we're going to come back to it, but go ahead, give me a finishing thought here. Go.
Well, I listening to Tim, like that's the part, because earlier we had Joey talking about Justin Fields falling. Tim just made the greatest point. The reason why everybody is so defensive about Justin Fields and this narrative and conversation that's going on around him is because we all see the talent. We, like, all of these football guys that's played the game is looking at Justin Fields and saying, yo, how do you not draft that? How do you not have that guy even in the conversation for being the best quarterback? That is why it's such a visceral reaction when you hear Justin Fields potentially being the last quarterback out of these top tier guys being drafted.
Right, and Mel Kiper didn't play the game, and he sees it that way. And Matt Miller and Todd McShay, everyone comes on the show and says he's the second best quarterback in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence, and yet he's going to wind up being the fifth one taken. It is a mystery. We're coming back to it. Meanwhile, speaking of a mystery, a beautiful mystery, let's talk about Aaron Rodgers making headlines on and off the field and on and off the TV. He's hosting Jeopardy this week, and he's great at that because he seems to be great at everything. But the speculation about his future continues, and he's not putting any stop to it. Again, this was him earlier this week with our buddy Pat McAfee.
You know, I think that we're exactly where we were last year when I made comments after the draft and throughout the season. You know, I don't feel like any of that's changed. All I can do is play my best, and I feel like last year I did do that and may have thrown a wrench into some timelines that may have been thought about or desired. But ultimately, you know, things haven't really changed on that front. My future is really, a lot of it's out of my control. You know, that's why I mentioned, you know, using words like a phrase like beautiful mystery, like, because it is quite uncertain which directions that things are going to go.
So fascinating to hear him talk about things like that. And then we had Shefty on this show yesterday, and Shefty added to it in this way.
I think if Aaron Rodgers drank truth serum and had his choice, he would move on to another place that hadn't traded up to get a quarterback in the first round.
Okay, so Tim, I want you to know what you're walking into. So earlier this morning, Dan Graziano outlined the way the Packers do business. Marcus said, "I'm not arguing with you, Graz," and then yelled at him for a solid 3 minutes. So now, that's just so you know, that's his idea of not arguing. But let me reset the stage here for you, Marcus, and let you start it again. The Green Bay Packers do business a certain way. They keep one eye on the present and one eye on the future. Yeah. And to some degree, it has worked. They win a lot of games. They make the playoffs a lot. But they don't win championships at the rate that some other teams do. And if a guy like Aaron Rodgers looks at what they're doing for Tom Brady in Tampa, for example, he might think, I want someone doing that for me, not making sure we're still winning 2 or 3 years from now. Marcus, how do you see it, the way the Packers go about doing their business?
Gee, that's why I love being on Get Up, because you bring profound thoughts out of me. And this is what came to mind. And maybe I was arguing with Graz and just missed it. But the bottom line is, to your point, what you just said, teams that are operating differently are winning Super Bowls. That's what they're doing. The teams that are positioning themselves, taking these risks, are putting themselves in positions to win games. Graz, they have the generational quarterback. You operate differently with a guy that you can win Super Bowls with. Green Bay, I'm talking about. Tampa, got a guy you can win a Super Bowl with. They operated differently. Jason Light just re-signed all the starters from a Super Bowl team. You look at Kansas City, they operated differently. They signed Tune to $80 million. They added weapons as the years went on. So look, I get it. I know what you're about to say. The bottom line is, if Aaron Rodgers feels like Green Bay has not done what he's seen these other teams do with quarterbacks that are generational talents, he has the right to feel the way he feels. Now, he should express that, but he absolutely has the right to feel the way he feels.
Go ahead, Dan.
Who's winning all these championships besides the Patriots and Tom Brady? Greeny, you said they're not winning championships at the rate that some other teams do. You're talking about one other team. Right, the Green Bay Packers, they won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. How many teams have won more than one besides the Patriots? The Patriots and Tom Brady have ruined this for everybody. The Green Bay Packers over the last 20 years have played in more playoff games than any team but New England. It's not close, actually. New England's way beyond. And they've won more playoff games than any team but New England and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh got one more. So you can't just engineer a Super Bowl title by signing a free agent or two. There's a lot that goes into it, which everybody knows. And again, the Patriots have spoiled it, because now the standard is, have you won six? Have you won seven? As opposed to, have you won one or two, which is what it used to be. So I just don't understand the idea that, oh, if they went out and drafted a receiver, if they went out and got this and this, that would change them from NFC championship game participant to Super Bowl champion. If they believed that was the case, then they would do it. But I don't think there's any proof that it is.
Go ahead, Marcus. It's a good argument.
Here's my point, Graz. I understand what you're saying, but if your generational quarterback feels like that's what he needs to win a Super Bowl, and he's watching other guys get these things done by their teams, he should have the right to be frustrated if you're not making those moves. That's why this is such a hard argument, because what you just said is literally what I've been screaming for a year. What else does he need? They've been to NFC championships, but it really boils down to this, Graz. If we can feel that way, the Green Bay Packers can feel that way, everybody else can feel that way. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't feel that way, Green Bay has a problem. And that seems to be the issue based on everything that we've pulled from what he's talking about with the franchise and the organization.
See, Tim, I told you, you walked in the middle of something. Let me get Tim into the conversation.
I think that's the point that Marcus made right there. Aaron is clearly upset about it. To Schefter's point about a truth serum, you don't need to give him truth serum. Give him a scotch and Pat McAfee, and he'll tell you how upset he is about the situation. He basically has said, look, I've thrown a wrench in their plans by playing better than anyone thought I would play. And oh, by the way, they drafted a quarterback in the first round last
last year instead of getting me help. He let us know. I've said all offseason, and Greeny, you probably remember, look, as we were talking about Watson and Wilson and they were unhappy and where might they end up, I said, don't take your eye off of Aaron Rodgers. I think he's unhappy enough in Green Bay to try to force his way out. Now, it didn't work, but I believe, and I said this last time I was on your show, that if they do not win a Super Bowl this year, then he is going to try to force his way out of there. I truly believe that, and I think he's basically told us that already.
Okay, I have to leave it there, Dan. I promise we will have more on this as the hour continues. I promise I'm getting you in. I feel bad because of the look on your face. You look forlorn.
I trust
but
you.
I have to go to a break because I'm getting yelled at. So we will continue in a moment. And we will have the 49ers. Have they already made up their minds at number three? And if so, are they about to make the biggest mistake of the draft? We'll talk about it. And then Sam Darnold celebrated getting traded away from the Jets. Does any of our crew think the Panthers will be celebrating at the end? I'm Faklemp. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and Wipe It Clean is brought to you by Clorox, and nobody needed a clean start any more than Sam Darnold did, and you see the reaction. He knows it as he had a celebration with those close to him after the news coming that he's been traded from the Jets to the Carolina Panthers. No one needed a clean start more than Sam Darnold did, and the opportunity to wipe it clean there, based upon the way things went for him in New York, and get the opportunity in Carolina. And so the crew is here. And again, Tim Hasselbeck, I haven't had you on the last day or so. What is your reaction? What are your expectations for Sam Darnold now in Carolina? And do you believe they're done at quarterback now? Again, they're picking at 8. Quarterback could fall to them. Are they set at the position right now?
I believe they should be. And, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, depending on how things fall, I guess it could get crazy and they could be faced with a tough decision. But I think my expectations for Sam are kind of what I've thought all along, that if he ended up somewhere else in a better situation than he had in New York, that we would see things happen that people thought would happen when he was coming out, that he would go and kind of help transform an organization. I think he's that talented. I think he's in a better system for him in Carolina. I think he's going to be surrounded by better players. And I think that the end result will be we'll see better results out of Sam Darnold. So, look, I think Carolina can build around him. That would be my plan unless something went crazy in the draft.
And speaking of better situations, Marcus, I'd love you to explain this because I think a lot of fans, Carolina is not a glamour franchise, for lack of a better way of putting it. And I think a lot of fans will think to themselves, ooh, a quarterback wants to get someplace where Kyle Shanahan is or Andy Reid is or Sean Payton is. We may look back on this. We may at some point soon be saying Carolina is the place young quarterbacks and young players want to go because of the coaching staff that people don't know as well. Marcus, tell everybody about that.
Yes, listen, I lived in Charlotte for 3 years, G, and I'm telling you right now, the Carolina Panthers are the focus in Charlotte, North Carolina. And look, this franchise, obviously under Riverboat Ron, was run at a great standard. And I think Matt Rhule continues that. We know what Matt Rhule has done building programs and being the type of coach that goes and reaches for players that he believes in. And I think that's the stamp of approval that obviously Sam Darnold needed coming out of that situation in New York. And then you couple him with Joe Brady, who we saw work with Joe Burrow and make a jump from his junior to senior year to being the Heisman Trophy winner and first overall pick. And people say, oh, well, that's college. Well, Joe Brady was also on the New Orleans Saints staff who played an elite level of offense. And Joe Brady understands how to put his quarterbacks in a position to be successful. That's what coaches have to do. That's the coach's job. And I believe Joe Brady, with Sam Darnold's talent, will get the most out of him. It's all up to Sam Darnold to take that coaching and apply it to the field. He will get what he needs from Carolina. He'll get what he needs from Matt Rhule. He'll get what he needs from Joe Brady. And if he plays well and is the guy that they think he can be, he'll get that love and support from the Carolina Panthers fans. This is great for Sam Darnold. It's up to him to take heed to what he's being taught and apply it to the field.
He's 23 years old. He'll be playing for his third head coach and third offensive coordinator. However, Dan, there is still that potential wrinkle here. If we get to a place where the Carolina Panthers are on the clock at number eight and Justin Fields is sitting there, as Tim just said, they're going to have a fascinating little decision to make. What is the best guess at this point, Dan, if you will, of what we expect them to do there?
Yeah, look, in your hypothetical, you're assuming that Fields is the quarterback of their dreams, right? And if that's the case, if they feel like the quarterback of their dreams or a quarterback they feel is better than Sam Darnold is available to them, then they have to probably take him. But based on the fact that they made this move for Sam Darnold, they don't seem to believe that will be the case. And if it's not, then Carolina is incentivized to make Sam Darnold as successful as possible. So then you look at this pick being, you know, maybe an offensive lineman, maybe a receiver, somebody that can help Sam Darnold be as good as possible. So I think Carolina's thinking that they're not probably going to get the guy that they really, really wanted, and this is the direction they've decided to go instead.
I will say this, though, super quick, Marcus. I got
G, can I
seconds.
Ask a question?
Go.
Go ahead. I just wanted to ask Graz, do you think that eight pick would become enticing if Fields is still there for some other team late, and could Carolina benefit from somebody trying to get there?
We keep going all the way down the round. Sure, if there's a quarterback available at a pick and the team picking there doesn't want him and someone else does, absolutely. But I think, I don't know, I don't see it getting to the point where he's still there at 8, 9, 10.
Well, we'll see. I mean, if he's not there, if he's still there at 8, Denver could come up and get him. The Patriots could come up and get him. There could be a lot of intrigue. Sit tight, guys. In the meantime, we've got Masters coverage. Remember, it's tomorrow. And that is Rory McIlroy, a live picture of McIlroy, who just needs a green jacket to complete the career Grand Slam. He's not having a great year. We'll see if he can start turning it around tomorrow again. Our first round coverage tomorrow exclusively here on ESPN, 3 o'clock Eastern. Tomorrow and Friday, we've got the first and second round of the Masters from Augusta. Once again, ESPN Plus. We'll also have featured hole and featured group coverage of all four rounds. To get ESPN Plus, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. In other news, one of the 22 women who have filed lawsuits against Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson is now speaking out publicly. Ashley Solis was the first massage therapist to file a lawsuit against Watson, alleging sexual assault and inappropriate behavior.
Deshaun Watson assaulted and harassed me on March 30th, 2020, in my own home, doing what I love most, massage therapy. I got into massage therapy to heal people. To heal their minds and bodies. To bring peace to their souls. Deshaun Watson has robbed me of that.
In a response to this news conference, Watson's lawyer said in a statement that the law firm representing Solis, quote, sought $100,000 in hush money, end quote, to quietly settle the allegations a month before the first lawsuit was filed. And then this news just came in. The NFL is investigating Watson, with a spokesman calling the allegations, quote, deeply disturbing. And news just came in a short time ago that Nike is suspending its relationship with Deshaun Watson. We will take a short break. And as we continue, have the 49ers already made a decision about what to do with the number three pick? And if so, is it the biggest mistake we've seen in years? We're talking about that in just a moment on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and let's talk about Justin Fields. He was brilliant from the moment he set foot in Columbus. In 2019, he threw 41 touchdowns, three picks. That's the all-time FBS record for that ratio. Then this year, Ohio State hit hard with COVID challenges, but Fields still improved in a lot of ways. His completion percentage went from 67 to 70%. He averaged nearly 30 more passing yards per game. Add it all up, he has the second highest career total QBR by any player since that metric was first used in 2004. It's only behind Tua Tagovailoa. So he's second on that list, but he's fifth on this one. Todd McShay's Mock Draft 4.0, which he debuted with us last week, you see it right there. He's got Fields, the fifth quarterback in this draft. But again, when he comes on and talks about it, he says, everyone says, they preface it with, well, I think he's the second best quarterback in this class, but McShay has him falling there. Mel has him falling there. Matt Miller has him falling there. Everyone we talk to. So I can't get a straight answer. Graziano, why does everyone think the second best quarterback in the draft is going to wind up being the fifth one taken?
Yeah, it's become this sort of narrative. Look, I mean, you talk to teams, like I'm hearing more positive than negative about Justin Fields. I think he's going to be a high pick. All we know for sure, we think we know for sure, is Trevor Lawrence at one, Zach Wilson at two. After that, there's a sense that maybe Mac Jones is the 49ers guy at three, but I don't know that it's 100% decided yet, and it could still be Trey Lance or it could still be Justin Fields. After that, is Justin Fields still available? Is he the Atlanta Falcons guy? Is he the guy that makes them think about life after Matt Ryan? You know, is it something, I mean, the Detroit Lions are not in this conversation because they got Jared Goff, but is it out of the realm of possibility to think they might prefer Justin Fields' long-term prospects? So you start to see, oh, is he falling? Joey Galloway made a great point last hour about there's not like this one almighty draft board where, oh, this guy is now falling. It really depends on the team, what they like. Quarterback is a very subjective evaluation, and it could be that he's the apple of someone's eye a lot earlier than some of the mock drafts seem to think right now.
Understood. Marcus, but what? Having said that, you're right, and Galloway was right when he said that. There isn't one list that everyone goes off of. But guys like Mel and McShay, they're talking to everybody. They're not just making these up based on their evaluations. So from what they're hearing, forget about what number he goes. He's going to be fifth out of five quarterbacks, Marcus. And that, to me, it doesn't make sense. How do you explain it?
Well, first of all, Joey and Graz are boring. Everybody in the world know that these teams are going to pick whoever the hell they want to pick. Okay? Everybody understands that. Okay? Here's the thing. I think what's happening, G, is that let me not give a voice for everybody that this is how I feel. Why is Justin Fields not the second guy we are talking about? That's where I am. Like, if we're talking about talent, if we're talking about the evaluation, I think what comes about is, why is Justin Fields not considered the second best quarterback? And why aren't we talking about Justin Fields to the Jets, let alone third to the San Francisco 49ers after they gave away and made the trade to get up? I believe that's where it's coming from, because when you talk to people, to your point, G, and even Graz and Joey as well, they all think Justin is good and can turn into a great player. Why are we not talking about him in that vein and having a conversation about, well, we don't know what's going to happen with Justin Fields. We know what's going to happen with Trevor Lawrence. We know what's going to happen with Zach Wilson. And we don't know what's going to happen with Justin Fields. Therein lies the issue with the conversation.
Correct. And Tim Hasselbeck, you opened up all of our eyes earlier this hour when you said you think Justin Fields has the ability to be an MVP of the league someday. So I'll ask you directly, because I have a vested interest in this. If you were making the decision and you had the second pick in this draft, as the Jets do, would you take Justin Fields ahead of Zach Wilson?
I would. But I would say this in terms of the discussion and you know, why people feel that way. Look, my list isn't going to be the same as somebody else's list and Matt Miller's or right. or McShay's or Mel's or any of that. And I'll just say this in terms of Zach Wilson. Look, I understand why somebody would have Zach Wilson ahead of Justin Fields. I personally don't, but I understand it. And so now it moves you to three. That's where I think that people can start to scratch their head a little bit and say, well, wait a second. Why Mac Jones instead of Justin Fields or Trey Lance instead of Justin Fields? That's where I think you can start to wonder, am I being told the truth? And I will just say this. I remember the year Daniel Jones was coming out, somebody that I was very close with at the New York Giants. I had a long conversation. Look, I consider this person a friend. I would not think that they would lie to me. We talked about Daniel Jones. They basically said under no circumstances did they think that he was that good of a player. All right? They ended up taking Daniel Jones. I was stunned. In fact, my feelings were hurt a little bit because I'm like, wait a second.
Welcome to April.
Like, you were talking to me like a media person, not a friend. So it is that season. We need to be aware of that.
Graziano can relate. He knows that feeling all too well. All right. Because you bring up Mac Jones, let me bring that into the conversation here, right? The Mac Jones of it all, because Mac Jones a year ago at this time wasn't someone anyone was talking about being a first-round pick, much less the third pick in the draft, much less a team traded away three number ones to earn the right to draft him at number three overall. But the conventional wisdom seems to be that's what's going to happen here. And so look who joins us here. It has been far too long since the legend, Paul Finebaum, has gotten up with us here. Paul, it is great to see you. And no one knows Alabama football, SEC football, and I guess in this case, Mac Jones better than you do. So I'm booking you right now for Get Up Friday morning, the day after round one of the draft. And if this is what happens, if Mac Jones is the third pick to the 49ers in that spot with everything they gave up to get that pick, what will you say?
I would say that Mac Jones going number three would potentially be one of the biggest stories in the history of the NFL draft. Why? Well, Greeny, you just said it a minute ago. A year ago today, there was no spring practice at Alabama. We were not certain that Mac Jones would even be the starter. Remember, he came in the year before when Tua went down, and even after he did fairly well, although he threw two critical interceptions in the Iron Bowl that cost Alabama the game and potentially a shot at the national championship, we still weren't sure. They had brought in a five-star from Alabama that everyone predictably was in love with, and we thought Bryce Young would be the starter by midseason, and then Mac Jones comes into camp, and he blows away the field, and we all know what happened the rest of the way. But I still think when you consider the path, and everyone wants to say, well, Joe Burrow is a bigger story, rags to riches, number one, Heisman Trophy winner, but Joe Burrow started his penultimate year at LSU. Mac Jones was playing behind Tua, so I think the transition would be absolutely breathtaking.
There's no question of that. The question then is, how good is he? So, I mean, Paul, you watch all these guys, and how good is he?
Well, if you look at what he has done in pro days, I think he's spectacular. Now, the problem that I think a lot of people are having who are against Mac Jones, and I'm not, is he played with a fantastic offensive line. He had all-world receivers, Waddle before he got hurt, and obviously Devontae Smith. He had Najee Harris in the backfield. I mean, he had more weapons around him than you could dream up on a video game. But I think that is being unfair to Mac Jones. He is smart. He matriculated through the system. He did the job. I mean, you could have chosen him as a Heisman Trophy winner, and I think it's legitimately possible that he will go this high, number three in the draft, and I'm not going to have a problem with it at all.
And so, Tim Hasselbeck, you were on this show, and we have, you've probably seen it, we've played back the sound of it multiple times for a lot of different people because you said, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but based upon the one dimension he doesn't bring to the game, and I'll let you get into it here, that you would question taking this player this high. Go ahead, pick it up from there.
Yeah, listen, I think the NFL is loaded with freak athletes. And so I think that the first round is reserved for kind of the elite that you end up seeing. And when you look at Mac Jones, he was a really good player in college. I like a lot of what he does. I think he's a fine prospect. But he has athletic deficiencies. That's undeniable when you turn it on and watch it. Doesn't mean he can't be a good pro, but there are things that he doesn't do that the best of the best do. And so, you know, rather than taking Tom Brady, who's the greatest draft outlier ever, and being like, hey, Tom Brady doesn't move well. Mac Jones doesn't move well. We're good here. Well, what if he's Chris Redmond? What if he's Davis Webb? What if he's Brandon Whedon? What if he's Ryan Finley? Let's not forget, guys, that we draft guys in the past that have had athletic deficiencies, and it doesn't work out. You know, we talk all the time about tiers of quarterback. You know, are you winning because of that guy? Does that guy carry your team? Can you win with him? Are you winning in spite of him? I think that he's a guy that's, again, a fine prospect, but he's not carrying your team. He's not athletically gifted enough to carry your football team. He's just not. And so that doesn't mean he can't be a good pro. It just means if I'm taking somebody at number three, they better be able to transform my organization mentally, physically, all of it. Check all of the boxes.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Tim Hasenbeck, thank you so much for saying that. And let me clear something up, all right? We think Mac Jones is a good quarterback. All the people that you hear saying that Mac Jones is not a top three pick still thinks that Mac Jones is a pretty good quarterback. And if you remember, G, I said Mac Jones to the New England Patriots at 15 was a match made in heaven based on what they just did in free agency and what they did to that offensive side of the football. So don't get it twisted that this is an indictment on Mac Jones being that he can't be a first round talent or play in this league. Three, which Tim point is, three. Are you transcendent, or are you thought of as being a transcendent guy? Because that pick, to Tim's point, is reserved for those type of guys. There has never been a time in a draft that I can remember, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, y'all have seen more than I have, where I've heard somebody say, we're going to take this guy third because he fits. Not because he's transcendent, he's elite, and has a skill set that's elite on the next level. The talk about Mac Jones going third is comparable to Matt Ryan, and because he fits. Now, I get it. I understand. Kyle Shanahan is the guru offensively, and he can make anybody good. Remind me how many Super Bowls Kyle Shanahan got?
Yeah, zero. The answer is zero.
And then another thing is this.
Hang on 1 second. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
I'm going to produce the show from where I'm sitting right now, even if everyone yells at me. Paul, I hope you can stay with me because I have to take a break. I want to come right back to this. So let's take a short break. You can roll whatever bump you want, but I'm telling you right now, I'm coming back to this conversation. Maybe we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers if there is time as we continue. Go ahead, Cindy, roll that. We might talk about Aaron Rodgers as we come up. What is, if there's time remaining, we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers. But we're coming back to this conversation next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and there he is, Bubba Watson, 2-time Masters champion. He will try and go after another green jacket this weekend. And a reminder that we have exclusive first-round coverage of the Masters tomorrow, beginning 3 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. And round two is Friday. Looking forward to it. As I've told you many times, it's my favorite week of the year. Meanwhile, we are 3 weeks from round one of the NFL draft. That's 3 weeks from tomorrow night. And we are in the midst of this conversation about Mac Jones, who right now, conventional wisdom seems to say will be the third pick in this year's draft. And I did something that everyone always yells at me for doing, but I decided to produce the show from this chair. And I said, we're coming back to this conversation because we were all yelling at each other. And Marcus, I think Tim Hasselbeck just made an outstanding point, and I will repeat it for everyone just joining us. The next time anyone says to you, well, you can win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who's not that mobile, we just won with Tom Brady, remind them, Tim Hasselbeck just said, you were pointing out the greatest outlier in the history of the sport. That guy is the best that ever lived, and the overwhelming majority of the time it doesn't work that way. So, Marcus, that really is the question. If you're going to take a quarterback that high, does that quarterback have to have the additional element of the athleticism to use his legs to make plays?
Yes, G, yes. Like, let's, we watch an elite. First of all, let me give context to that, right? Like, did you see all of these 40 times that these defensive players ran?
Yeah.
Did you watch Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd play, by the way, in that division where Mac Jones is going to be? Like, this is why people are saying this. This league is different now. It does not mean you have to be the standard of athleticism. But you better be able to get yourself out of trouble. You better be able to move around enough because you are going to have to extend plays. There are aminals on defense now. It's no longer Marcus Spears's. That's 3-15, two-gapping and playing the run. And then guys come in to rush the passer. These dudes are elite athletes. They are different. And that is why everybody is talking about these quarterbacks that have that athleticism trait having success. Look, and I'll give you this last point because I want to hear Paul on this and Tim. Are we really upgrading from Jimmy Garoppolo if we take Mac Jones? I think that's the question a lot of people have to ask. Now, if you tell me the injuries are the concern, I get it. But is Mac Jones really that much of an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo, who went to a Super Bowl, lost, but went to one? That's the question that I have for everybody that's saying Mac Jones is the perfect fit. It seems to me Jimmy Garoppolo is as well.
Yeah, health has been the problem there. He's missed 45% of the game since he got to San Francisco. All right, Paul, you've heard all of this. What is your perspective? And more importantly, what can we expect to hear your callers saying this afternoon on your radio show as they dissect all that has been said here?
Well, let me say this, Greeny. I'm just a small town talk show host. I didn't play in the NFL like my friend Marcus or Tim. Or,
but
you know what drives me crazy? For all of us to sit here and believe that general managers are going to make the right decision. I'm a fan of the draft. I don't host it. I just watch it. And I watch the stupidest decisions made every single spring. And we sit here and act like these guys are curing COVID. Come on. I mean, I don't trust half the NFL GMs to be able to turn on an iPhone correctly. So you think I'm going to put my faith in them to make the right decision on Mac Jones or Justin Field? No, I'm not.
I have missed this. I am sitting here saying, why have we not had Feinbaum on? And that's a perfect example of why. Tim Hasselbeck, quick final word, go.
Well, listen, and to Paul's point, you don't have to go very far. Go back to the 2018 draft. The athletically deficient quarterback that went number one overall was Baker Mayfield. Like, just look at the measurables on it. You look at the other quarterbacks taken after him in that draft, namely Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson, physically more talented and able to compete athletically at a level before they're able to catch up mentally to the game that's played on Sundays.
Hey, it's a fascinating thing because that historically was never part of the equation. Like, being able to compete athletically was never part of the quarterback position for 95 out of the 100-year history of the NFL, but now it is. Paul Feinbaum, what a delight. We look forward to the callers losing their minds over this conversation later this afternoon on your radio show. Thank you. As we continue, we will get to Aaron Rodgers as we continue. Is his future in jeopardy, both figuratively and literally? And I want to make sure that you are aware that tomorrow we will be live on ESPN2 with Masters coverage on ESPN. We will tomorrow and Friday, same time, different place. We'll be live on ESPN2. Get up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up, and it has been a wild morning in a variety of ways. But I suppose in a world where Aaron Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy, nothing seems all that strange. That's how he's spending this week and next week. You will see him as the host of Jeopardy. Then the question is, where will he be spending next year and the year after that? With so much speculation about Rodgers' future, let me just sort of bottom line it here in the moments we have left before First Take takes over. Dan Graziano, I'll come to you. Is it? Do you believe it is the expectation in league circles around the league that Rodgers is going into his final year as a Green Bay Packer?
There are definitely people who believe that, and there's reason to believe that. A lot still depends on what happens, and I don't think any final decisions have been made by the Packers. They're leaving their options open. They drafted Jordan Love in the first round last year, and obviously that means they believe he can be their quarterback of the future. They haven't seen it yet because last year was so weird and he didn't have preseason games, etc. Rodgers wins MVP. You know, this could still go a couple of different ways, but the fact that the Packers have left themselves open to moving on, yes, has led to a great deal of speculation around the league that this will be his last year in Green Bay.
All right, let's go a little crystal ball action here. Marcus, do you agree? Do you believe this is Aaron Rodgers' final year as a Packer?
Yes, G. I thought last year was going to be his final year until you went out there and reminded us all. Well, not me, because I thought he was great the year before, but he reminded a lot of people he was still Aaron Rodgers after a down year the previous year. So I think this will be his last year because he's giving all of the hints. And you know why it's a beautiful mystery? Because Aaron Rodgers knows damn well he's going to make a lot of money and he's going to be on a contending team when he does force his way out.
What do you think, Tim Hasselbeck?
Yeah, look, I think if they don't win at all, if they don't win the Super Bowl, then he'll be unhappy enough to want to go somewhere else. And I think he was kind of already at that point after this season, this past season. So, I think that's where this is headed. Look, that betrayal of drafting a quarterback as high as they drafted Jordan Love when he still felt like he was good enough to win a Super Bowl, it's going to be hard for him to get over. And I think that it's kind of a grudge that he will hold if they don't get it done.
Okay, fair enough. I'm going to leave it there because I am told there is something I need to see. I haven't seen it yet. Stephen A. Smith just tweeted. Let's read it. Yo, Get Up ESPN. Forget all those football talk for a second. What I would like to know is what the heck Marcus Spears is doing having that picture of himself on his Twitter page trying to look like a professor. Greeny, who does he think he is? What picture is he talking about? He's talking about that picture. Stephen A. is calling out on your Twitter page. Marcus, your reaction.
Well, you know, when haters aren't around you, they like to send messages, and they send them publicly. Stephen A. got my number. He could have asked me that on my cell phone. But the bottom line is, G, I'm going to see him in a couple hours or an hour or less, and we'll get all of this straightened out. But that's a nice damn picture. I don't care what nobody says.
That, I believe, came from our show, didn't it? I don't know if Tim and Dan can see that, but we have replaced Marcus. That could be your new Zoom background. That's what I think. Put that up on Zoom and see how long it takes till anybody notices. I do believe that was an original look that was created on this very show. Thank you guys for getting up with us. Outstanding. Thank you for getting up with us. Outstanding. We will see you back at Better Than Ever tomorrow. I'll be coast to coast on the radio in 60 seconds. And First Take starts now.